Praise be Jesus and Mary. We heard our Lord say in the Alleluia verse today, he said, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. John 14, verse 23. So for today's reflection, we're going to talk about love as God's primary attribute. Or as the beloved apostle says in 1 John 4, 16, he says, O theos agape estin, which is Greek, meaning God is love. So when God talks to us about love, we need to listen. Why? Because he is love. When he speaks about love, we can say he's speaking his own language. When the Lord talks about love, the Greek language itself, which of course the New Testament was written in Greek, it has four different words for our English word love. We've shared this before, we'll share it again today. In Greek, the love of storge, which is the first type of love, refers to the tender feelings that parents naturally have towards their children and vice versa, or it's sympathy towards friends or other people or things that we enjoy. So it's a natural emotional affection towards someone or something. Eros is passionate love or desire. We know that the main good that comes from eros is that it leads to children being born into the world. So it helps fulfill the commandment that God gave when he blessed Adam and Eve, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. He said in Genesis 1, 28. It's clear then why contraception and sterilization are such grave evils, because they prevent love from bringing children into the world. In a relationship where a couple uses contraception or sterilization and they're both in agreement about doing that, pleasure and selfishness are very often at the center of that relationship, and God gets pushed off to the side. Phileia or phileo is the love of friendship in Greek. In his letter to the Romans, the apostle says, Romans 12, 10, he says, love one another with brotherly affection. And the word for brotherly affection there is Philadelphia, a word that we're all familiar with here in the States. The love of philia is the love that exists between close friends, between people who share common values or interests or activities. Actually, for the ancient societies, the love of philia or friendship was considered the happiest and the most fully human of all loves. Now, all of these three loves do have their defects. Eros can easily turn into pleasure-seeking and selfishness. Storge can remain simply on an emotional level or on a feeling level, so that once the good feelings disappear, the love of storge disappears as well. Philia, the love of friendship, can become too exclusive. It can even become possessive. We know it's easy to have someone who's a good friend of ours, and that person finds another friend, and we become jealous or possessive. You know, why is that? Because the love of philia is imperfect. So there has to be a higher love than all these three loves, and there is. The highest and truest love is agape. It's what we Christians call charity. Agape love is, first of all, love guided by reason, not by the lower passions. First thing. We could define agape love in this way. It's a selfless, self-giving for the good of the other person. A selfless, self-giving for the good of the other person. It's unconditional love, which translates into deeds of love. So agape love is the truest form of love, and it elevates and it completes all those other three forms that we mentioned. So love, or true love, focuses more on giving than on getting, as our Lord said. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20, verse 35. So giving without craving or seeking anything in return, when we do that, it reflects the love and the character of God himself. God is love, and we see that in the Blessed Trinity. God is love because he's one and three. He's one perfect substance, divine substance, and he's three divine persons. As the three musketeers would say, all for one and one for all. Right, all for one and one for all. That's actually the nature of God, who is love itself. Richard of St. Victor in the 12th century was one of the first people to use the human image, the image of human love, as an analogy for helping us to understand the Blessed Trinity. And Franciscan theology traces its roots back to the school of St. Victor in Paris, where Richard was from. The school of St. Victor in Paris was more monastic. It was an Augustinian school, and it was insisted on study being geared towards prayer and study being geared towards the contemplation of God. Very Franciscan approach to the intellectual pursuits there at the university. So we can see a small reflection in the Trinity, in human love, and in the family. And when we read in Genesis 1:27, we read that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So the image of God, as Richard of St. Victor would say, the image of God is man plus woman plus their offspring. So three persons, one family, one nature. Just as the love between a man and a woman is procreative and it's life-giving, so too the love in the Trinity is procreative and it's life-giving as well. The Father loves the Son and he gives himself entirely to the Son and vice versa. And the fruit of their love is another divine person. It is the Holy Spirit. Because the family is an image of the Trinity, the family itself can never be redefined without being corrupted or distorted. So why can't marriage be whatever we want it to be? Well, because marriage is a very small reflection of the Blessed Trinity. And love that is not procreative, love that is not life-giving and not sacrificial is false. It's a counterfeit love. So the Church rejects the notion of marriage between persons of the same sex, not only for natural reasons, for reasons based on nature itself, but also for theological and supernatural reasons too, because it distorts the image of the Creator, who is love itself. And anything that distorts the image of God in us is not healthy for us. It's not good for us. We have to keep that in mind. We see the attribute of God's love as well, most especially in another place, not just in the Blessed Trinity, but also on Calvary, in the crucifixion of our Lord and the co-redemptive suffering of Our Lady. We know our Lord said, "No greater love is there than to lay down one's life for one's friends." We know he said that in John 15:13. And our Lord always put into practice what he taught. When you think about it, he didn't just say something. What he said, he did as well. So on Calvary, we see that procreative, that life-giving, that sacrificial love, which is agape love, and which is a reflection of the love that is God himself. And we know that the Apostle Paul tells us that love is the only thing that we're going to carry over into the next life. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 and 13, he says this, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love," says the Apostle. So when we pass away from this earth, and assuming we die in God's grace, our faith will give way to vision because we will see God as he is. You see that St. John says that in 1 John 3, verse 2. We will see God as he is. Our hope will give way to possession because we will possess God. We will possess the source of life and love and goodness that is God. But love, which is charity, won't give way to anything, because love is God's essence. So love is the only virtue that will remain in the next life. Love on a spiritual level begins for us in this life when God's grace comes to our heart in the gift of baptism. So, and also Franciscan theology teaches that sanctifying grace is charity. But the two aren't separate things. Sanctifying grace is charity. They aren't two distinct realities. and that sanctifying grace in the next life is transformed into glory, while at the same time remaining charity, so still remaining love. So grace becomes glory, but always remains charity, because grace is the life of God in our souls, and the life of God is love, as we've said. So how can we apply this attribute of love to our own spiritual lives? Well, we need to remember that true love is doing what's best for the other person. So it's not self-focused or self-seeking. This can be very hard for us to grasp and to practice at times. So we need to pray and ask Our Lady for the grace to love others in this way, for the grace to love others according to what is good and true in God's eyes. Condoning evil behavior or enabling it or winking an eye at it is not the loving thing to do, so we need to be careful regarding those things. We also need to be mindful of our Lord's words regarding the close of the age. At the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew, towards the end, he says this, "Because of the increase in evil or wickedness, the love of many will grow cold," he says in Matthew 24, verse 12. So we have to pray that God's love doesn't grow cold in our hearts because of the evil that surrounds us. We have to be careful about that. The Apostle says in Romans 12, 21, he says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So how do we overcome evil? Through prayer, through works of mercy, through sacrifice, the same way Jesus and Mary overcame evil in their lives. If we have an eye for an eye mentality, or if we have hatred toward those who hate us, or if we're always focusing on what's wrong, or if we're always complaining about what's wrong, then we are pretty far away from the law of Christ. We need to work on our own conversion before we try converting others, and we've spoken about that many times in other reflections. So let's ask Our Lady for the grace today to love ourselves, first of all. Why? Because she loves us, and so does God too. Let's also ask her for help in loving others as well. We also need to ask for the grace to have mercy on others too, to have a spirit of mercy towards them. And likewise, to have mercy on ourselves at times too, because God himself is always merciful and always loving towards us. So if we have a right understanding of love and mercy, and we put those two things into practice in our lives, then truly we will be like Jesus to others. We will become just like Jesus to other people. And we will continue his ministry of mercy, of healing, and of the conversion of minds and hearts to God, who is love itself. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.